Father, we thank you for your sweet presence in our midst. We're so grateful that you honor us with your tangible presence. It's not everywhere that that is available. So we are deeply appreciative of your mercy and grace. As we go into your word, we beseech you that that same tangible presence go with us to open up the word, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Anoint me afresh. Help me speak, Father, as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. Then put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present right here, as well as those who are hearing me and will hear me remotely electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine. Pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit will be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they're heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring another treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all's in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, indeed, the Lord is so close to us, only if many times we are conscious of it. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. As we were praying, as we were singing rather than worshiping, I had a flash. You know, two hands clasped together. Many times you let go, but God never does. His hold on you is permanent. He grips you. Sometimes in your panic and you let go, but he will. He never, never. Doesn't matter what you do. Now that doesn't mean you go about and doing bad things. He won't leave you. That song is such a beautiful song. It says, through all the years, even when we didn't know, he was still. Even before we became Christians, on Wednesday I did an elaborate teaching using the centurion as a type on sheep that are not of this fold. And the earth is full of millions of them. There are millions of centurions on the earth today who have that kind of heart. How could the centurion, who was not a Jew, who did not have the scriptures, have more greater faith than all Israel? And God doesn't exaggerate. Because the law of God had been written in his heart through the conscience that he obeys. So that law that was in his heart gave light. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Same principle. The principle hasn't changed. But now it's being done, you know, by the Holy Spirit. So much so that that man had, E.W. Kenyon said this, it impressed me when I read it, you know, E.W. Kenyon make this comment. He said that the centurion had a greater spiritual appreciation of who the Lord Jesus was than most believers have today. He said that in the 1920s, 1930s, of the last century is still true today, over 100 years ago. Most Christians don't appreciate Jesus the way the centurion did. He said, you don't have to come to my house. You You don't have to come to my house. He said, for I am a man under authority. I said to this one, go, and he comes. And I said to this one, come, and he comes. I understand. This is a paraphrase. I'm paraphrasing the same way E.W. Kenyon paraphrased it. You know, he said, I understand that as I have authority over these soldiers, you have authority over sickness and disease. If you say go, it will go. If you say come, it will come. The Bible says Jesus marveled. But how could an unbeliever, technically speaking, that is a person who wasn't a Jew, today we'll say somebody who's not a Christian, have more faith than all the church? Because of his heart. This Christianity thing rises and falls on the disposition and the condition of our hearts. Honesty and humility are fundamental. They're not things you do away with after you get born again, God forbid. They're things you must continue to nurture. I preached this message many years ago, the good and honest heart. And it struck me. The heart was good and honest before it received the word. It was not the word of God that made the heart good and honest. It was already good and honest. And when it received the word, it brought forth 100-fold. Now, so what made the heart good and honest before it got the word? Conscience. The earth is full of them. There are many like I used to be like that. I was one of them. Before I knew Jesus, before I knew God, God was looking after me. Because by his grace, the honesty and the humility of my heart. And I'm not the only one. There are many like that. When I meet them, because in your interactions, you can tell. You know, we call them good men. So Cornelius was a good man. The rich young ruler was a good man. Abimelech was a good man. Naaman was a good man. Rahab, even the prostitute, she had a good heart. Ruth was a good woman. They were not in Israel. They were not born again. And they became heroes and heroines of faith. Dearly beloved, treasure above every other thing the integrity of your heart. Don't let anything tamper with it. Above every other thing, if you don't say the truth to others, say it to yourself and to God. Because that is what is going to determine your destiny. Before Christianity and after Christianity. I, yet not I, but the grace of God which is who speak to you, Olubi Johnson, today. That's my story. I told a bit of it on Wednesday. When I look back now, and I realize it wasn't I was better than anybody else, or it was the mercy and the grace of God that was following an honest. I made my mistakes. I was a sinner. But I was honest about so many things, even without being conscious of it. And that disposition of heart to do to others as you want them to do to you. See, that's all the law and the prophets. We didn't have life. We didn't know Jesus. We didn't have Holy Ghost. Just that little, that, and then practicing it to the best. Of course, because you're a sinner, you won't do it perfectly. You do the best. That alone, that is what God will just see the mercy and the grace of God. Just be following you. Gradually, God will bring you to where he can get you born again. That's my story. Today, we're going to be looking at David at Ziklag. I began last week, Bethlehem, Ziklag, Hebron, and Jerusalem. I shared with us that the life of David is a shadow of the life of every New Testament Christian. Went through the scriptures, all of us are called the offspring of David. We looked at all the scriptures. Look at the genealogies. Abraham and David. David is singled out. Even the Lord Jesus is called the Son of David. In the book of Revelation, the Bible ends with David, the root and offspring of Jesse. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, no offspring. Then later on, it says the offspring, and God gave me revelation. The Lord Jesus is the root of David because he created David. He was his God, the Word in the beginning, who made all things. We, you and I, are the offspring of David. If you are Christian, you are offspring of David, just like you are of Abraham. In fact, it's through Abraham. If ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and by extension David's seed and heirs according to the promise. God was taking David to the throne, just like God is taking every Christian to the throne. If you look at the promises of the overcomer in the book of Revelation, Revelations 2 and 3, you find that it is there progressively increasing glorious rewards. Firstly, you know, not to escape the second death. Then, you know, to eat of the tree of life. Then, you know, get power of the nations and so on and so forth. And it culminates in sitting on the throne. That is your destiny. The destiny of David when he was born in Bethlehem amongst his brethren was to go from being somebody who was just a shepherd boy looking after the sheep to becoming the king of all of Israel. Your life follows or should follow the same trajectory. You get born again, you're just a servant, you know, and then you are supposed to. Sadly, most don't, but that's the will of God. You know, it's not the will of God that they don't. I'm saying this is the will of God. Just like it's the will of God for everybody to get born again, but not everybody gets born again. It's the will of God for every Christian to become a spiritual king. But not every Christian becomes a spiritual king because, you know, it's for the same reason why people go to hell, because of unbelief, you know, wrong teaching and stuff like that. So we're looking at this. Today we want to zero in at Ziklag. Now, I'll just give a brief review. David had three anointings. I first heard this truth from Pa S.G. Elton. He didn't preach it like I'm preaching it today. He just said it in one of the meetings in IVCU. I believe the year was 1982. I went there in the afternoon. I still remember it. I just got in. The hall was full. Anytime Pa used to come from Elisha, everybody comes to church. Well, you know, fellowship back in those days. So I was sitting somewhere. I just entered in. I was a little bit late. Pa started talking. So I just entered in quietly and I just sat somewhere in the back. And I heard Pa Elton boom with his voice booming, "David at Ziklag." I don't know what that means, but it's going to be important for every single one of you. Because we are of, he mentioned that, you know, we were of the seed of David. Then he said this. He said, David had three anointings. He said, each one of us should have three anointings. He was anointed amongst his brethren in Bethlehem. He was anointed in Hebron over one tribe. And then finally, he was anointed king of all Israel. And he speaks of three anointings that all of us must get. He didn't explain all of it like I'm doing it now. But he just dropped it. And some of us, I being one of them, by the grace and the mercy of God, picked it. And I went home and I started reading the scriptures. I didn't understand it initially, you know, but I began to pray in the spirit. And then God brought other teachings to my hands by some of the great prophetic teachers of our time. People like George Warnock, you know, Bill Britton, and many others, you know. And later on, God brought Ralph Martin, Kelly Verner, and some of these kingdom preachers who would teach by revelation the things in the life of many of the new Old Testament characters that are prophetic shadows of what we are doing today. It is sad, regrettable, that many Word of Faith Christians have thrown away the Old Testament and said, well, you know, all I just need is the epistles, what I am in Christ. That's true, you know, but you see, the details, all you have in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, excuse me, are the principles. The details of how to do many of those things are hidden in the types and the shadows of the Old Testament. You do yourself a great disfavor not to know the Old Testament thoroughly,
so that when you are, when God wants to give you instruction, you will be able to understand that instruction using the Old Testament types. For instance, Kenneth Hagin, I shared this also, I think I mentioned this on Wednesday. Kenneth Hagin had an experience. He was being led by the Holy Spirit. He didn't fully understand it, but he just did it. The year was 1943-44, you know, towards the end of World War II. And he said the Holy Spirit led him to start praying the Ephesian prayer, Ephesians chapter 1. He put his name there, that God give me, Kenneth, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know, you know, the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of your power which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead. He said he would pray it in the morning, he would pray it in the afternoon, he would pray it in the night. He prayed in the morning, prayed in the afternoon, prayed in the night. Continuously like that for 6 months. Why 6 months? I'm going to tell you in a minute. You know, after 6 months, he said he began to get light. He began to get revelation that was more than all the revelation I got in 14 years. 14 years of ministry. He said, what have I been saying? What have I been preaching? All these 14 years, he had the miraculous. He had word of wisdom, word of knowledge. He had the gifts of the Spirit. He had healing. That's not spirituality, folks. Gifts of the Spirit is no sign of spirituality. The Corinthian church came behind in no gift. Yet Paul said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. They were carnal, yet they had gifts. Balaam, the donkey of Balaam, had workings of miracles. Two, he saw discerning of spirits, he saw an angel. I'm talking about the donkey, not Balaam. And he spoke with man's voice, but he was still a donkey afterwards. He died a donkey. True. The gifts of spirit are embellishments that God puts on you to work out a purpose. But if you don't do anything about your character, those gifts will just come and they will go. So Kenneth Hagin has his experience, and I, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me, learned about this in 1979 from Kenneth Hagin. I just dubbed it. I just copied him. I started praying. Again, it was exactly about 6 months. It was years later when I was reading the book of Esther. I'm showing you how the Old Testament contains types and shadows of details. Now, when Esther was going to go before the king, they took her for 1 year, 6 months of bitter odors, then 6 months of sweet perfumes. You know, that's a historical statement, but it has a prophetic undertone. The first 6 months when you begin to pray these kind of prayers, it will be bitter because of the sin nature is still in your soul that God is trying to work on. It's like something that has been very dirty. Then you're working on it. You're cleaning it every day. You're cleaning it. It takes 6 months. Then after cleaning it, suddenly the window becomes clean. Then you can start seeing. It takes that 6 months. And most people do not stay the course of the first 6 months. So they never get into revelation knowledge. Because it's just like a drudgery. Morning, afternoon, night. Give me and nothing happens. To 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 months. Nothing happens. But if you know the Old Testament and you understand the shadow, you will understand, I got to stay with it. It happened to Kenneth Hagin. It happened to me and loads of other people. You know, and then the next 6 months are sweet odors. With the Bible says in the Ecclesiastes, I think it's 11 somewhere, where it says the light is sweet. Give me that scripture. Many people don't know it. Yeah, all these things are all in the Old Testament. They were all there. But we don't know the Old Testament. Look at it. And I said, truly, I didn't hear you. The light is sweet. And a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. He's not just talking about the sun of the light, which is also true, you know. But he's talking about the light of revelation. And that's why Esther, go to Esther. Esther chapter 1 or 2 or 3, I can't remember where it is. I think it's Esther 2 something. 2:15, something like that. You know? Yeah, here it is. 2:12, thank you. It says, for the days, this just looks like a story. It is a story. But inside it is revelation. That's why you need to know the Old Testament. Detail. Look at what it says. And the days of their purifications were accomplished. To wit, 6 months of oil of myrrh, bitter. 6 months of sweet odors. That's when the revelation starts coming. The light is sweet. Now, if I didn't know and I had not sat under prophetic teachers and I myself had not been praying and reading my Bible and the Old Testament, I won't know these scriptures. How can you connect Ecclesiastes with Esther and come out with revelation? You can't, except by revelation. Just use that. That's why what we're reading now and studying about David is very important. If, and I use the word if very guardedly, because it is all conditional, though it is the will of God. It is, see, everything that is written is the will of God. That's why we have that great statement of scripture in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians. He said, for all the promises of God in him are what? And? If it's a promise in the Bible, if you are in Christ, it's yea and amen for you. The will of God, always. But you got to fulfill the conditions. So you find David is on his way to the throne. He's anointed at Bethlehem, which speaks of our baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. It's just the earnest anointing. It is with the earnest anointing you fight, you kill the lion and the bear. It's the earnest anointing you kill Goliath. You're going to deal with the loss of the flesh. We're going to talk more about that today. But that doesn't take you to the throne. It takes you to the house of Saul. And then you and Saul and Jonathan, you're all fellowshipping together. Then as you begin to grow spiritually, David begins to outgrow Saul, Jonathan, you know, and God begins to call him out into the wilderness. And then he gets discouraged, thinks Saul was going to kill him. Then he goes to Ziklag. If Ziklag is in the land of the Philistines, it is outside the main region of the natural Israel. Ziklag is the place just before Hebron. Hebron is where you get the second anointing, which is a spirit without measure, you know, under covering, you know, with you partake of the spirit without measure. Then Jerusalem is where you inherit the spirit without measure, which is what we see Jesus do when he was 30 years old. Jesus too went through all the stages. You see him at 12, which will be Bethlehem. Then you see him, you don't see it, but it's there if you know the Old Testament. That's why you need to know the Old Testament. At 20, he gets a second one, limited, although he doesn't start doing miracles, but he grows because that's when you become a Levite. Then at 30 is when you become a priest. That's when he inherits the spirit without measure. How do I know? Because I know the Old Testament. If I don't know the Old Testament, I won't know that. Now, Ziklag is very, very, very important. I shared with us last week, he spent 1 year and 4 months in Ziklag. Again, you get off from all this Esther and everything. The first 1 year, the first 6 months, you go through bitter odors. The second 6 months, you go through sweet odors. You begin to get revelation of the seven pillars of wisdom and of perfection. Then you start practicing them 4 months. That gives you balance. When you're balanced in working on them, then you can move from Ziklag to Hebron. It's the way the track is laid. That's why the Bible says the scripture cannot be broken. That's why it's important to know the scripture. You're not going to, you know, you can't skirt around these things. Now, I want to talk today in more detail about Ziklag. If I was going to give this message title, it's part two of the first one, but I'll call it David at Ziklag. Like I just said, you get a personal revelation of the principles of perfection. Seven pillars of wisdom, you start practicing them, then you start getting balanced, you get balanced in them. That's the purpose of Ziklag. But while at Ziklag, there were two significant things that David did. Number one, his time in Ziklag, he kept it, he used it attacking the Amalekites. And the reason why he could do that was because he was outside Israel. There were no Amalekites within Israel. They were outside. So God had to take him outside to start attacking the Amalekites. Everybody follow me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 27. Am I talking to anybody here? And if you're still on my side, give me a wave offering. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel. See how important the Old Testament is. All these stories is full of revelation. You don't read something, you just think it's just a story. It's not. There's something in there. I remember many years ago when God gave me this message, you know, two of them actually, from Elisha, dwelling at Dothan. Dothan is a place of two wells. Then there was another one, the arrows of Elisha. What mommy said, we should start saying, Satan, loose and let him go. The man hit the thing only three times, the king. The prophet was angry with him. He said, why did you stop at three? He said, you should have gone to five or six. Then you would have been able to you would conquer the Syrians forever. All those things are speaking to us today. First Samuel chapter 27. And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites, the Gezrites, and the Amalekites. For those nations were of old inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even on the land of Egypt. Amalek is a type of the flesh. So in Ziklag, as you get revelation of the perfection principles, and as you begin to practice them, you begin to attack the sin nature that is inside your flesh. You begin to attack it, and you begin to cleanse it out. You begin to overcome it. That's what David did at Ziklag. And it had to be at Ziklag, because if he was in Israel, he would not have had access to the Amalekites. What does that speak to us today? The great majority of the church does not even understand that we still have a sin nature and how to deal with it. So God has to take you out of Israel to, in quotes, Ziklag. Don't take you out of the church. Don't misunderstand me. But from the what is being practiced basically in the church. I got another revelation, honey. Do you know, Pastor G, that when Saul was king at this time, there's a great revelation. Do you know that they did not have any weapons of war in Israel? They had to go to the land of the Philistines to sharpen their cutlasses and their spears and all of that. That's why if you stay in Israel, you won't have a weapon until you go to Ziklag. You have to come out. Revelation chapter 17, come out of her. The spirit of Babylon has permeated the church. It's endemic. So if you want to go in these deeper things of God, God will take you out. So, not take you out from the church. Don't misunderstand me. Take you out from the practice. Then give you weapons that you with which you can attack Amalek. Very crucial. The second thing is that, now this is prophetic. Just before David goes to Hebron, it was during this time that Saul and Jonathan are killed in the battle with the Philistines. And he goes to Hebron. Satan mounts a major offensive against David. He and his men, they come back. Everybody go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. We hear this preached a lot, but there was like most of our preaching, everything is always materialistic. Well, you will recover all, and God will, you know, which is not wrong. Please don't misunderstand me. It's just that it's shallow. Because that's not all God is talking about there. So when they get there, they find that the Amalekites had attacked them, burnt their houses, carried all the wives and the children away. The people were so discouraged that they spake of stoning David. The Bible says they cried and cried until they had no more power to weep. But what did David do? The Bible says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. And he allowed God to strengthen him. Ephesians 3. God will strengthen you with might by spirit in the inner man. And then he inquired of the Lord. And he said, shall I pursue? And God said, pursue, you will definitely overtake and you will recover all. I know that's what our people pray. But you see, you have to understand now, he's talking about recovering all the sin nature has stolen from you. This is very important. This takes place at Ziklag. And it takes place just before Hebron. And the Lord gave me understanding. He said, why did this happen? He said, it was Satan's last ditch attempt to stop David from becoming king. In World War II, I just use this as a natural historical this thing, the Allies, you know, made a successful landing on the Normandy beaches in the north of France. They completely fooled Adolf Hitler's intelligence apparatus. They made him think that they were going to attack from the port of Calais. And you know what they did? It's a true story. I also watched it in a movie and documentaries. They took Patton. Patton was the most famous general on the American side. Great, 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 great warrior. He had his faults, but you know, he was a good soldier. So, and his mouth is too big. He said a lot of things he shouldn't say. So, in fact, they were thinking of demoting him and sending him back to America. But he was too good not to keep him. So they said, you know what you're going to do? Just stay in London. Stay in London. They were doing what? They said, don't do anything. Just stay in London and keep your big mouth shut. That's how they said it in the movie. He said, George, you're your own worst enemy. He said, stay in London and keep your big mouth shut because you're on probation. We're still thinking about what we're going to do with you. He said, we're going to build around you fake armies, simulated radio traffic. We're going to put, they made tanks that are made out of rubber so that the German reconnaissance planes will see them. The German agents in London, they saw that Patton was in London. They were giving the Germans things to hear over radio, simulated radio traffic. Yes, yes, you know, we're planning an invasion. It's going to be from the port of Calais and everything. So the Germans were totally fooled. They were totally, they were totally deceived. They believed Adolf Hitler, Erwin Rommel, all of them believed that the invasion was going to come from the port of Calais. The best American general, Patton, is in London. They're building an army around him and the agent. That's exactly what the British wanted them and the Americans wanted them to think. So they thought that. So they now mounted the main attack from Normandy, which is further north, you know, on the Normandy beaches. In fact, Adolf Hitler was sleeping on the day of D-Day and said nobody should wake him up until 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Rommel went to go and, he was on leave. He went to go and see his wife. He was in Germany. Everybody was just taking it easy. They said, well, you know, the attack is not going to come until they come through the dead. All the intelligence that they had given them, the fake intelligence, the simulated radio traffic, they believed that that was going to happen. So when the first wave of the Allied forces landed in Normandy and they radioed and they said, no, it's just a feint. They're just trying to make us think that let's relax. So all the panzers and the tanks, they kept them down, you know, around the port of Calais, and they tied them down there, and they had orders not to move, except Adolf Hitler tells them to move. So that's how the Allies got a foothold in the first day. By the time they realized it was the real thing, it was too late. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Intelligence is very important. And so they made great progress. Then a last-ditch attempt by Satan, by Adolf Hitler, not too far from Satan, not too far, you know, to hit against the Allies was in a place called the Bulk. This was December. This is around Christmas, you know, of 1944. So he got his reserves and tanks and everything. Say, look, if we can just punch a hole through the Allied something, we will be able to turn the war around. And he had all these secret weapons, the V2 bombs and all of that, you know. So he was believing that if he did that, he would get some reprieve. And then with that, so he made this lie. It's the same playbook Satan plays out of. So he does it. It almost works. It almost works. But thank God for General Patton. Patton said, gentlemen, they were having a meeting with Montgomery and all of these guys. They were taking it easy. He said, look, my men, we realize that we can still lose this war. So they're going to do it not because they love me, but because they know we can lose this war. So we need to. They had to march a long distance and come back. It was a, you know, in military records, one of the best moves that had ever happened in the American army. On top of that, there was bad weather. Bad weather. So all the air superiority that the Allies had was not effective because the planes couldn't fly. Patton got the chaplain. True story. He got the chaplain to write a prayer to clear the weather. The chaplain said, General, will God allow answer a prayer for us to kill our fellow man? General Patton said, you write it, I will pray it. I have a special relationship with the Almighty. The true story. He gets the prayer and he's praying the prayer as they are moving with the tanks and moving to attack. The true story. You know what? The weather cleared. The weather cleared. Air superiority, and it was a walkover. And they did that. What I'm saying is this. That's a natural story, but it's true. You know, when Satan knows you are just near the throne, like David, he will attack. So if you are at Ziklag, expect the counterattack. Good news, you're going to overcome it. But don't start crying when it comes. It's part of being at Ziklag. It's coming. It's coming. Just before Hebron. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass. I didn't hear you. When David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire. And they had taken the women captives and they that were therein and slew not any, either small or great, but carried them away and went on their way. And I've told the rest of the story. They cried and everything. Then later on, David encouraged himself. Let's jump because I want us to get, look at verse 8. And David was greatly distressed. No. The verse 8. I've told you that part. Verse 8. And David inquired of the Lord. I didn't hear you. Turn to your neighbor and say, David, at Ziklag, you must constantly inquire of the Lord. This is instruction to us today. It's not just a historical something about David. It's to you. David, if every David that is going to get to Hebron, and from Hebron to Jerusalem, spirit without measure, you must go through Ziklag. It's a compulsory course. You will go through Ziklag. Am I talking to anybody here? Oh man, don't sleep on me. Give me a wave offering. Somebody, then give the Lord a clap offering and wake up. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. Everybody say, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. A clap offering for the Lord. You will recover everything the sin nature has taken. You're going to recover, get total possession. Watch this. You're going to get total possession of your will, total possession of your mind, total possession of your emotions, total possession of your physical body. Oh, scream it, somebody. Hallelujah. That's what this scripture is talking about. It's not talking about material things alone. Even though there is an application to material things, the devil can attack you and God will help you to get it back. But he's not talking about material at all. The real spiritual message is, because Ziklag is just before Hebron. This is the significance of Ziklag. Now, how does this thing happen? How does David recover all? Because of time, I'm not going to read all the scriptures. I'm going to read a few, but I'll give you a brief overview, then we'll look at a few scriptures, because there's some instructions that are inside those scriptures that I must show to you. But just before I do that, let me just give you an overview. What happens is that David encourages himself. He gets this word from God and he begins to move. He has, and this is the same story today, he just has a small group of men with him. There are only about 600. 200 of them are tired. They can't go to the fight. So they say, you guys wait behind and look after the things that we've left behind. 400 go on with him. As they are moving, they come across an Egyptian. Egyptian is a type of the sin nature. This Egyptian has been left for dead by his master, the Amalekite. So David gives the man, he gives him water, he gives him fruits, raisins, all those speaks of the fruit of the spirit, the life of God that you put inside the flesh, the dead flesh. The body is dead. That's the Egyptian, because of sin. It's been serving the sin nature. You put life into it. And you know what? It's that Amalekite that now leads them. He leads them to where the Amalekites are. And then David slaughters them. Kills all the Amalekites. Very few, I think about 400 escape, you know. And according to the word of the Lord, he recovers everything, the children, the wives, and brings them back to Ziklag. It is when he gets back to Ziklag, after this great victory, he spends, the Bible is a great book, honey. The Bible says, on the third day. You keep that third day, it keeps happening. It's like a recurring decimal, because Jesus was raised on the third day. And our own miracles also start on the third day. It's not think it's an accident. It says, and the third day. Somebody comes out from the battle. Saul is dead. Jonathan is dead. That's where David gets the news of the death. He's just come back from this great victory where he had recovered all. He did not know that you're just a week or two from Hebron. He recovers everything. Then they come and tell him. Of course, he doesn't rejoice. He weeps and all of that, because Jonathan was his friend. You know, he sings that psalm. You know, how had the mighty fallen? Then he said, what should I do? God said, go up to Hebron. It was at Hebron that the guys now come and anoint him as king over one tribe. Everything in this story has prophetic undertones that are speaking to you and I today. Now, let's look at from verse 17. I've given you the overview. We're going to be closing. Verse 17. Am I talking to anybody here? Oh, Jesus, help me. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Before I go to verse 17, let's quickly look at verse 11 and 12. And they found an Egyptian. That's a type of your sin, of your
flesh that is dead. And the sin, it's not the sin nature is the Amalekite. That's the thing that's been is been serving. But the flesh is dead. He said the spirit is, you know, the body is dead because of sin. So see what he does. He says, he found an Egyptian in the field. And they brought him to David. And he gave him bread. That's what life scriptures. Give him the bread of life. Am I talking to anybody here? And he did eat. And they made him drink water. The water of life. Am I talking to anybody here? It's not just story. This is the depth of scripture. And he gave him a cake of figs. Fruit. And two clusters of raisins. Why all this detail, Pastor Buega? Why? Why didn't your Bible just say he fed him? He's speaking to you and I. Hallelujah. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ that shall give life to your mortal body. You know that in the New Testament, because Paul says so. But here you now get the detail. Are you seeing why the Old Testament is so important? Am I talking to anybody here? You know? And then, you know, he makes a deal with him. So now let's jump to verse 17. And David smote them the Amalekites. I didn't hear you. From the twilight, even unto the evening of the next day. You know, this thing mommy said we should be doing, you know, five times. That's the same thing Elisha told the king. He said, why did you stop? He speaks of consistency. He smote them. He didn't stop. You don't stop praying. You don't stop life scriptures. You don't stop good morning Jesus. You don't stop travail. You keep hitting and killing him. You don't give him breathing space. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. That's what all this detail is, instruction to you and me. They smote them. From the twilight, even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them. Man, that scripture mom is always quoting. It says, and we will not, nothing will escape us. The same thing you find it in Joel. You can see, that's how you know the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. How can something that they wrote in 1 Samuel go and connect with what is inside Joel? It says, nothing shall escape them. It doesn't say so. I don't know if I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Save 400 young men who rode on camels and they fled. Those ones ran away. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. Turn to your neighbors, you're going to recover everything the flesh has taken from you. Everything the sin nature has taken away from you. You're going to recover it all. You're going to recover your humility. You know that's how you were made. Because you are like God. But it's been taken from you. So you're proud now. But that's not the real you. Hallelujah. You're going to recover the mind of Christ. Don't miss church next week. I'm going to be talking about the humility and the ability of the mind of Christ. Recover. Full recovery. I said full recovery. This is the real message. I'm not talking to anybody. And rescued his two wives. Verse 19. And there was nothing lacking to them. I didn't hear you. And there was nothing lacking unto them. Glory be to God. Neither small nor great. Neither sons nor daughters. Neither spoil. Neither anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Everybody scream it. David recovered. Turn to your neighbor and say, David, you will recover all. Ah! What a word. And David took all the flocks and the herds. They drave before the other cattle.
and said, this is David's spoil.
Now, what I'm about to share with you is of tremendous spiritual importance. Covering the corporate anointing. None of the individuals who went with David could have recovered all by himself. They recovered all as a company with David as the leader. David himself could not recover all by himself. This thing we are in requires the corporate anointing and unity in the spirit. It's crucial. That's the only way.
Oh, I'm going to show you some things this afternoon. Oh, yeah, so got some time. You know, I'm going to show you some things. But let's be reading.
And it's all, you know, honey, it's all there. We've been reading it as story. But it's prophetic instruction. It's there.
And David came. Verse 21. I'm not talking to anybody. Everybody, open your mouth. Open your mouth. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow.
You see, there are people amongst us who may not be as strong as some of us. You don't condemn them. He said they were so faint, they could not follow.
Whom they had made also to abide at the brook of Besor.
Kaseleme. Honey, they could not follow, but their heart was with them. You see, God does not reward just activity. He rewards heart. They were with David. They went with David to Ziklag. They were willing, but they were just not strong enough. And there are people like that today. They want to do. So they stay with David. But they may not be strong enough to do something. You know what happens? They also enjoy the benefit. This Bible is a great Bible. Look at what it says.
Whom they made to abide at the brook of Besor. And they went forth to meet David.
See, their heart was right.
And to meet the people which were with him. And David came near to the people and he saluted them. That's what a good leader does. A good leader does not condemn. A good leader doesn't say, no, no. And look at, even among the good 400, there were some bad boys. Look at what the Bible says. Then answered all the wicked men. These are guys who are growing. And they were part of the 400. And men of Belial, those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of this spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. And David said, you shall not do so. It's still today. We're going to read it in the scripture now. You shall not do so, brethren, my brethren. That which the Lord hath given unto us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand, who will hearken to you in this matter? But as his part is he that goeth down to the battle, so his part be he that tarried by the stuff, they that shall part alike. Give David a super clap offering. Next verse. And it was so, from that day forward, that he made it a statute and an ordinance for all Israel unto this day. It is still in operation today. Psalm 133. Oh, glory to God. Amen, man. I can tell you something, folks. I'm so excited. You know, Satan is finished. Because of unity and love, he's finished. You see, none of us by themselves can do anything. But when we are together,
in the spirit. I shared there, it was on Thanksgiving Day. Say, when you are gathered together and my spirit, good, but not enough. With the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our power is. We need to gather together. We need the leaders, my spirit. But the leader now needs the Lord's power. That's where it's covering. So the covering, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ via the conduit pipe of the spirit of the leader now goes down to the entire body and everybody partakes. Now you can understand Psalm 33, 133. Glory be to God. Oh! A song of degrees. Who is it of? David. And say, hello, David. Turn to your neighbor and say, hello, offspring of David. All these scriptures are speaking to you. You better wake up. Kokonjo Henri Davidi. Only any. In our language, that means it's not just David's song, it's your song. You see, Jesus is the root of David. You and I are the offspring of David. So the entire body is the root and offspring of David. Glory to God. Oh! Hallelujah. The head is the root. The body is the offspring. A song of degrees of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? Those men of Belial were trying to, they were trying to breach the spirit. The Bible says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit. And those guys wanted to break it. I did this and I did that. Even the one you did, is it not the grace of God? What do you have that you did not receive? If you have received freely, why can't you share freely? Am I talking to anybody here? Oh, glory to God. I'm about to take off. Hallelujah. I could preach for another hour, but I'm not going to. Some people say, ah. You know, Jesus will preach for 5 hours. How many people know that? Paul will preach 5-6 hours. Me, I only preach 1 or 2 hours and you're... Don't worry, darling. It is like the precious ointment. I would say anointing. Upon the head. Who is the head? The Lord Jesus. Thank you. Look at the order. You see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And then you see it in... What's that scripture? It's one of the minor prophets. Micah chapter 2 verse 13. It's the same order. You see the Lord. You see their king, my spirit. And then you see the brethren. The same thing. It has never changed. So the anointing is on the head. Then from the head, it goes to the leadership. It says, run down the beard. The beard is symbolic of maturity. So the beard is a part of the face. They are so close to Jesus that they are in the head too. Nekashaka Fredes. So it comes from the head. Then it goes to the beard. The leadership. And then from the beard, it now goes down. Let's read it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Round of the beard, even Aaron's beard. And went down, where? To the skirts of his garment. He said, they all share alike. Even the faint that didn't go are part of the body. So that anointing will get to them too. Now, this one is fresh revelation. I've been reading scripture for years. Then, recently, maybe a few weeks ago, it just dawned on me. I said, honey, thank God for good morning, Jesus. You don't even know what God has done.
You yourself, you don't know. You don't know. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descends upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord hath commanded thee, not a, the blessing of blessings. People want a blessing. God has given you the blessing. Zoe, life forevermore. Because once you have that one, you can get all the other blessings. Now, honey, I want to ask you a question. What time of the day does dew come? You've been reading it for years. He said that's what happens. That's why the early morning prayer, that's when the dew comes. The dew is, we all know it from geography, is what I've, you know, but it comes in the early hour before the sun comes up. You can't get dew after the sun comes up. So when the leaders get up early in the morning and they interact with the head and pray, they get dew, life. And then it doesn't stop at the head. It then flows down to all of the body. The dew of Hermon. That's why it's dew. The mountains of Zion. Mountain is a type of prayer. So when they, when you see, so when you get up early morning, you know, some of us get up 3, my wife and I, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, go and pray and all of that. Light scriptures, click, clear the devil out of the way, you know, and all of that. We are creating dew for the rest of the body. It flows down. Say, there. There, the Lord hath commanded the blessing. Even what? The blessing, not a blessing. The blessing. Am I talking to anybody here? This all happens in Hebrew. It is this dew of Hermon. It is this anointing on the head of Aaron that goes down to the whole body that causes all under that covering to recover all. This is what is happening at Ziklag. Am I talking to anybody here? All benefit from the corporate anointing. Stand to your feet. Everybody. All God wants is your heart. Willing, honest, obedient. Honest and humble. Those are the people who benefit from it. So all this, have you noticed that, honey, Pastor G, you know those 600 people, they left Israel with David. They could have stayed in Israel. They were discontent. They were in debt and they were in distress. They were not happy with what was going on in Israel. If they didn't have the right heart, they would never have followed David to Ziklag. The same is true today. It is them that benefit from the anointing that's on the head. And then they recover all. And it's the same people who will follow David to Hebron when he is crowned. And then they will partake of that anointing. We call it the borrowed anointing. Hello, Ziklagites. I know you are not in the main company of the rest of Israel. Don't worry. Israel is coming in a few years' time. But Ziklag is the first of the first fruits. They move in first. Hallelujah. And they get the anointing at Hebron. And then there will be a strong battle, a long battle between the house of Saul and the house of David. Then the house of David is going to get stronger and stronger and greater and greater. And then the house of Saul is going to get weaker and weaker. And finally, all Israel will come under David. Have I spoken to anybody here? Now let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm trying to pick a song, like trying to pick a radio signal. I got one, but I'm trying to download. Tell me, download. I know you guys download. You know, oh, glory. What do I sing this month? Hallelujah. I have one here. But I'm wondering, is this the one God wants me to say, or is there another one? Just keep playing that music. Just, quietly like that. And everybody, be in the attitude of prayer. Just be talking to God. There are two questions God is going to ask you now. Number one, will you go to Ziklag? Or will you stay in Israel? Do you want to use weapons of war? Or you want to keep sharpening your weapons with the Philistines? Number two, will you stay in Ziklag when the counterattack comes? Or will you get discouraged and stone David? Thank you, Jesus. Yes. I got it. I got it. Lord, I come to you. I have another one here, but this one's better.
Lord, I come to you.
Let my heart be changed. That's what happens at Hebron.
Renewed.
Flowing.
Flowing from the grave
that I found in you. Oh, sing it. The weaknesses, you're going to recover all. In me, will be stripped away. Let's start again at the beginning. Lord, I come to you. Let's start again. Oh, sing it. Oh, let my heart. That's what happens at Ziklag.
Flowing from the grave
that I've found in you. And Lord, I've come to know. We are going to recover them all. Will be stripped away. By the power.
Of your love.
Hold me close. Oh, sing it. Hallelujah. Your love. As you Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, sing it, minstrel. It's from Ziklag you move from being a servant to becoming a prince. It is from Ziklag you move from being an eaglet to becoming an eagle and you start soaring. You see, now understanding the Old Testament shadow, it is very easy to interpret the New Testament substance. Most Christians don't want to go to Ziklag. It's a narrow place. This is the narrow way of life. A Ziklag. Majority are not there. Many, they all stay in Israel. They stay where it is the Philistines, the worldly methods that they are using, you know, to sharpen their weapons. It's only outside in Ziklag they can get proper weapons. It's a narrow road. And there is danger because you're surrounded by Amalekites. You don't know how to fight. You don't survive in Ziklag. But if you stay with the company, you will survive. Even when you're faint, once your heart is right, you'll be blessed in Ziklag. And when David is anointed in Hebron, you will be there with him. And you will partake of the Spirit without measure. Stay in Ziklag! Don't stay. Don't try and stay where it's popular. All this was in the heart of the Holy Ghost when he told Pa Elton 40 years ago. This is 1983. About 40 years, 41 years. He said, David at Ziklag. I can never forget that afternoon. He said, I don't know all it means. He said, but it's going to be very important. He said, go and find out. Pa Elton, S.G. Elton. Ziklag. You can't. Hey, look at it. Bethlehem, Ziklag, Hebron, Jerusalem. You cannot get the anointing in Hebron if you don't go through Ziklag. And most Christians don't want to go to Ziklag. It's not popular. There's no crowd in Ziklag. And there are too many Amalekites, the challenges of the flesh. So you have to be praying. You have to be using your weapons to survive in Ziklag. And they don't want that. They want to stay in their comfort zone. Oh,
I just got a word. The leadership, not the whole Israel, but the army that stayed in Israel died with Saul. Go and read the account. That guy runs to David and says, what has happened to the Saul? He says, he's dead. His sons, he said, all the army, they're dead. They're all scattered. Don't stay with them. The people were fine, but the army died. A change of God is ahead of us. I'm preaching you present prophetic truth. Now. Not next week. Now. Most of you who are following us, you're already in Ziglag. That's the truth. You may not understand it, but now you understand it better. Don't run away. Don't go back to Israel. They don't have weapons there. If they want to do anything, they have to go to the land of the Philistines to go and sharpen their weapon. You can see it in the church today using worldly methods. The scriptures are true, Pastor G, to the letter. Only David and his men had weapons because they were outside in the land of the Philistines, Ziklag. And they now use those weapons, not against Israel, but they use it against the Amalekites. And he never spared any of them. He would kill all of them. Kill everything. So they won't go and tell the king Gera that, you know, the same thing. Don't have any mercy on the flesh. And the signature, kill it. It will prepare you for Hebrew. Let's talk to God. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Have mercy on me. Receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life, the blessing, and your power in sufficient measure. Father, I thank you for your word. I now understand better our present prophetic position. That we're now at Ziklag about to make the transition to Hebron. And I understand that we have to be attacking the Amalekites, the sin nature in the flesh. Oh God, help me to be diligent. Help me to watch and pray always, not to slack, so that I will recover all. Under covering, under the corporate anointing, I will recover all. And make the transition to Hebron, where I'll partake of the borrowed anointing of the Spirit without measure. Healing the sick, cleansing lepers, raising the dead, and casting out devils. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Spirit, we thank you for your blood. Your life, Ronanga Shukufrene, your power, Nakasha Kekekekiri, Lopria, Lambra, in and upon our wills, Laprikitufrines, our minds, Laprikitolomoshofres, our emotions, Laprika, Ritolomotufres, our physical bodies, Laprikutuskufrines, our circumstances, Rimbrukutuskufridili, our regional heavenlies, Renatstufrines. Insufficient measure, ranantolom to fridisk. In this regard, nambrika tuskofre lo pridisk. In Jesus' name,
If you need healing or deliverance, oppression, depression, all those kind of things, just raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Father, we release the healing power of God into the bodies of those whose hands are stretched forth in faith, both here and those who are at home. If you are home, just stretch your hands towards your device. I say, be thou made holy in Jesus' name. We come against spirits of infirmity, spirit of fear, spirit of doubt, spirit of oppression, spirit of depression, spirit of discouragement. We cast you out. We destroy your works. Resist and we bind you in Jesus' name. When? And it's going to come. I don't know what form it's going to come, but it will come. When the attack comes at Ziklag, do what David did. Encourage yourself in the Lord. You're not going to lose anything. You're not going to lose wife. You're not going to lose husband. You're not going to kill anything. No. But it will just be an intense. Don't be discouraged. That's what sent David to Ziklag. He was discouraged. He said, oh, one day Saul is going to find me. He had forgotten the word of the Lord that Samuel gave him. He said, one day Saul will find me and will kill me. He said, let me go. But God had mercy. You know, God is a merciful God. And turned it around for good. Whatever comes now, in these next days, weeks, months, when it comes, recognize the message. Ah! Encourage yourself in the Lord. Pursue. Overtake and you will recover all. Mommy, say hello.
I love you all. And in the name of Jesus, we will pursue and we will recover all. In the name of Jesus.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord may his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the ladder of his candles upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to will be successful. You'll be at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live. You will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life of God satisfy you and show you his salvation. Even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, Joseph, of Moses, Joshua, Ruth, of David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit. Rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn your say, you pursue, you overtake, and you recover all and have no bones broken. In Jesus' name. Amen.